The championship is back in the Bay for the first time in 40 years.
On the new limited podcast series, Dub Dynasty, we hear from head coach Steve Kerr on how Steph Curry almost never even joined the Warriors.
In fact, I thought we had a draft day deal to end up getting him to Phoenix.
For the entire behind-the-scenes story of Golden State's incredible 10-year run, listen to Dub Dynasty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Sam Mullins, and I've got a new podcast coming out called Go Boy, the gritty true story of how one man fought his way out of some of the darkest places imaginable.
Roger Caron was 16 when first convicted.
Has spent 24 of those years in jail.
But when Roger Caron picked up a pen and paper, he went from an ex-con to a literary darling. From Campside Media and iHeart Podcasts, listen to Go Boy on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are your ears bored?
Yeah.
Are you looking for a new podcast that will make you laugh, learn, and say ¿qué?
Yeah.
Then tune in to Locatora Radio Season 10 today.
Okay.
Now that's what I call a podcast. I'm Diosa.
I'm Mala.
The host of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela.
Which is just a very extra way of saying
a podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio Season 10 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapaho way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Disasters don't just destroy homes. They expose vulnerabilities. They create openings for those with power to reshape communities in their image, often at the expense of those who built them. The Eaton Fire was a tragedy, but what's happening now? The real estate calls, the lowball offers, the insurance delays. It's something we've seen before. When disaster strikes Black communities, recovery is never just about rebuilding. It's become a battle to hold on to what's theirs. History has shown us what happens next. 100 years ago in the Greenwood District of Tulsa, Oklahoma, Black Wall Street stood as one of the most prosperous Black communities in the country. It was a place where Black families owned banks, hospitals, businesses, an entire self-sustaining economy built despite the systemic barriers meant to keep them out. Then, in May of 1921, that success was wiped out overnight. A mob of white residents, armed and deputized by local law enforcement, stormed into Greenwood, looting businesses, setting homes on fire, and murdering more than 300 Black men, women, and children. Over 1,200 Black-owned homes were burnt. The physical destruction was immediate. But the long-term damage, the financial devastation, was strategic. Insurance companies denied survivor claims under a loophole called the Riot Clause, ensuring that Black families received nothing for what was taken from them. The city of Tulsa then rezoned much of the area, making it impossible for Black residents to rebuild the way they once had. What was once Black-owned land became prime real estate for white developers. The destruction of Black Wall Street wasn't just about the fire. It was about erasing Black wealth and ensuring that even in the aftermath, Black families would never regain what they had built. And the fight for justice has never stopped. Over 100 years later, the last two known survivors of the Tulsa race massacre, Viola Fletcher and Leslie Benningfield Randall, both around 110 years old, were still fighting in court, seeking reparations for the destruction of their community. In 2024, they took their case to the Oklahoma Supreme Court, demanding that the city of Tulsa be held accountable for using the Greenwood name for financial and reputational gain, while its original Black residents and their descendants remained without restitution. The court dismissed the case. They ruled that the original injuries were too remote to justify legal action, that the ongoing harm was not the responsibility of the current defendants, and that addressing these claims would create, quote, unlimited and unprincipled liability. 84 years later, another disaster struck. In 2005, Hurricane Katrina made landfall in New Orleans, bringing floodwaters that swallowed entire neighborhoods. But the storm itself wasn't the deadliest part. The government's failure to protect and rebuild Black communities was. Black residents, many of whom didn't own cars or have the financial resources to evacuate, were stranded on rooftops, trapped in the Superdome, left to fend for themselves. Entire neighborhoods, places that had been home to Black families for generations, were destroyed. But what came next was even more devastating. Insurance companies stalled payouts, underpaid claims, or denied them altogether. Black homes were appraised lower than white-owned homes, making it harder to access rebuilding funds. Eminent domain laws were used to seize land, pushing longtime Black residents out. Before Katrina, New Orleans was 67% Black. After the storm, that number plummeted. The city rebuilt, but it did so without many of the Black residents who called it home. Property values in gentrified areas skyrocketed, while Black homeowners who had lost everything were told their homes were worth little to nothing. Without the money to rebuild, many had no choice but to leave. But in both cases, the result was the same. Black families lost everything, and the places they built were never truly theirs again. Now, in Altadena, residents are fighting to prevent what happened in Tulsa and New Orleans from happening there, a place where disaster becomes an excuse to erase entire communities. The first fire-ravaged property has already sold. A lot in Altadena listed at $450,000 was purchased for $550,000, $100,000 over asking price. Before the fire, that same lot wasn't just land. It had a home on it. The previous owner purchased the two-bedroom, two-bath house for nearly $1 million in 2023. When faced with the costly and time-consuming process of rebuilding, the homeowner made the difficult decision to sell instead. Homeowners in Altadena are receiving dozens of calls a day, sometimes before they've even had a chance to process their loss. Real estate investors are circling, offering fast cash before insurance payouts arrive, hoping to buy up land while families are still vulnerable. The playbook hasn't changed. Studies show Black homeowners face longer delays in insurance payouts. Their homes are often appraised for less, making it harder to rebuild. Then come the predatory buyers, offering quick deals before families have had time to assess their options, targeting the elderly, the uninsured, and those still in shock. No one knows what Altadena's future will look like, but one thing is certain. This community is ready to fight. For Arion and Stefan Taylor, this fight isn't just about rebuilding. It's also about protecting what remains and making sure their community isn't lost in the process. Because for families like the Taylors, leaving is not an option. I'm Mimi Brown, and in this series, you'll hear stories told firsthand by the people who live them. These are their stories, their voices, and their truth. This is To Altadena with Love. Meet Arion Taylor.
Someone said to me, like, you know, it's good that you're not going through this alone. You know, like, there's a community going through this with you. I would much rather go through this alone. The stories that I'm hearing, the generational homes that are lost, the businesses that are gone, my kids' friends have lost their homes where they would have sleepovers. My daughter's school is gone. Where do we go? Like, how do we, like, figuring out the next steps? If it was just me, I would know what to do. But how do I'm a fixer, I'm a helper. Everyone's hurting so much, and I just, It is hard to see an entire community hurting. I miss the city, but the people of the city. We would drive down the hill, get out of the, out the front door, into the car, and you see your neighbors, and you say, good morning, hey, neighbor. Then you drive down the street, and you wave to the crossing guard that's at the intersection of Lincoln and Altadena Drive, and then you go across Altadena Drive, and you see the same kid riding his bike to school every day. And then we would pass a certain spot where there was like a group of peacocks. I don't know if it was a gaggle of peacocks, whatever it is, a flock of peacocks that was crossing the road. And we would sometimes be late because we had to let the peacocks cross. And then, doing the drop off. But you saw the mom who had a special needs child wheeling her son out and putting him on the bus. It's those things that you do every single day where you see your community in action. You don't realize how much that is part of your daily routine, and you just miss it.
So the Eaton Canyon fire just started, and it is spreading so rapidly. The worst of the winds haven't even started yet, so we're gonna evacuate before it gets too close for comfort. Everybody say a prayer.
We actually had spent the day preparing for the winds. There is a wonderful man named Edgar. He's a 24-year-old meteorologist from Altadena, and he has his own little Facebook page, and he's like, all right, guys, you need to hunker down and be ready for these winds because it is more than what they're saying. And so we spent the day preparing for the windstorm that was coming. But he also said, if there is a spark of anything, you need to be ready to go. So I said, okay, well, I couldn't even imagine in my wildest dreams that there would be a fire, but I was sure that we would be out of the danger. But we spent the day preparing for the electricity to go out, because that's what happens up here when there's high winds. So sure enough, the winds kicked up and the power went out. And so we had our flashlights, and we had our little lanterns, and we had our games out, and I had just finished cooking dinner, so we were eating dinner in the dark or by flashlight, lantern light, and we were playing a card game. And so we were, where we live, it's further up in the mountains, so there's no cell service if the Wi-Fi goes out, and everything was out, but we're fine. It was no screen time. And then all of a sudden, I got one message, and it was from a private school village. It was a community group, and they said, are you guys okay? Lavinia's evacuating, or there was something like that. And that was the one message that I saw from that group. And I said, Steph, they're talking about Lavinia, because that's the name of the little community that we live in, the gated community that we live in Altadena. And I said, Lavinia's evacuating. And he was like, they're overreacting. Like, don't worry about that. And I said, okay. And then I said, Steph, I think we should actually pack a bag. Let's do it. And he was like, now you're getting nervous for nothing. We had that little squabble that people do. And I said, we played one more hand of the game. And I was like, we're packing a bag. Like, I'm just, and he kind of huffed and puffed, and the kids huffed and puffed, and they went and they started packing a bag. And I had these beautiful French doors that opened up to the backyard. And while I was getting ready to go down the hallway, I said, let me just look outside. I looked outside, and that fire, like, the mountain was aglow with flames. And I said, hey, Steph, come here for a second. And he looked out, and his whole demeanor just switched right up. He was like, all right, kids, this is what you need to pack. This is what you need to go and get. This is what we need to do. And he just grabbed our like, we have lock boxes that have our, like, passports and stuff in it, and he grabbed those, and he started packing up the car because we were going to come to my mother-in-law's and hunker down here. So we grabbed our generators and things like that. So I was like, okay, we'll be fine. By the time I checked one more time, about 15 minutes later, it had doubled in size, the fire, and it was coming rapidly close to us. And I looked outside, and we were having, like, 80-mile-per-hour winds, and I saw, I don't know if it was a bush or a treetop, it picked, and it was on fire. It picked up off the side of the mountain, spun around like a little tornado, landed with a thud, and just lit more of the hillside on fire. And I was like, all right, This is serious. I said, we got to move quickly. So we're running out the door, and neighbors started coming to the door. Everybody was like, are you guys leaving? Are you guys? Because we know we have no cell service up there. We got nothing. So Stefan the second is 14, and Gianna Rose is 11, and Josephine is 7. So Gianna, she has anxiety. She's kind of been conquering anxiety for a long time, and it's been something that we've been working in therapy and things like that. So her anxiety started to kick in, and like worst case scenarios, but she was listening and she was diligent, and she was trying to take care of our youngest, Josephine. And Josie just started asking, are we gonna die, because they looked outside and they saw the fire. And then she said, is our house going to die? And so Josie starts crying, and my son is like, there's no time for tears. Let's go. Stop, you know. But I was trying to make light of the situation. So, you know, I knew how serious it was, but I got my phone out and I was taking some pictures, and I said, okay, guys, you know, reporting live from Lavinia, this is our first evacuation, you know, just trying to make light of the situation. And Gianna's very much a, she's a personality. She belongs in front of a screen. And so she turned on her news anchor voice and started reporting on what was happening.
Gianna,
what's right, evacuated. So winds are crazy, right? Yeah. Then it's like, oh no, fire. And it's like, it's near Ian Canyon. And we're just getting stuff ready to evacuate for like go? Smoke and stuff.
Should we go show them the fire?
Yeah. So the come. Fire happening is over here.
I don't know why we're taking a video. We gotta go.
Neither do I, but it's fine. So if you look through like that tree, there's the fire, the smoke, all that. It's pretty bad.
So before it gets terrible, but you know what? If you guys take a look up, I don't know if you guys can see it here. Because all the power is out, you can see all the beautiful stars. Signing off.
See ya.
So it kind of snapped them out of it a little bit. As we were walking out the door, I said, Steph, and I was telling the kids, I'm like, it's going to be terrible smoke here. It's going to be ash. We might have, some, you know, it's going to be bad. We don't want to be here. There was nothing in my mind that said we weren't going to be coming back there. There was nothing in my mind that thought that. And so I said, you know what, Steph, I'm just being silly. But you can you grab my grandparents' ashes and their love letters? And he was like, all right. And he grabbed them. Put them in the car with our like flashlights and lanterns and generators, and we were like, we're gonna hunker down here. We're just a few miles down the road. But by the time we got into the car and got here, it had tripled to quadrupled in size, and the smoke was stifling. It was something out of a movie.
Oh, sweet Jesus, Mother of God. It's not that serious, Steph. We need to get out of here because the fire is there. It's not that serious. The fire is right there. Get the car. Get the car and turn around. I've got babies to get back to, honey. Let's just get what we can. But, Steph, we got to be able to get out of this street. Turn the car around.
I got you.
Thank you, baby.
So we got my mother-in-law and we got into a hotel. Like, it was one of the last two rooms at a hotel, and we checked in there.
So we made it to Burbank. It's a few cities over from Altadena. We don't know what's gonna become of our home, but we're thankful to be safe and together. Everything else is replaceable.
In the community that we live in, there's a Google group. It's an email group. And so people were emailing, does anyone know what's going on, this, that, and the other? And there were a few people who chose not to evacuate. So they were sending emails, and they said, Giddings Ranch is burning. And that was it. And we live on Giddings Ranch Road. And I said, Steph... And he was like, no, that's got to be lower Giddings Ranch, because there are some parts of that street that are closer to the hillside. And I said, that's got to be. He's like, no. And then later a neighbor sent us a very blurry picture of our house. And Steph, with his rose-colored glasses, he is forever the optimist. He was like, yeah, it looks like just our garage is damaged and the car. And I looked at, I said, Steph, there's no roof. And he was like, no, it's a blurry picture. I think it's fine. I was like, all right, dude. And I went into the other hotel room and I sobbed and had a mini breakdown because my kids were in the second room. My sister was there. And then we got into the car and we were coming back up to my mother-in-law's because we were hearing that the fire was spreading and we wanted to try to save this house.
So this is my mother-in-law's house. Cover and protection over this house, Lord God. Cover and protection, cover and protection. In Jesus' name, this house is covered.
And so while we were there, another neighbor said, Steph, I'm sorry to tell you, but your house is gone. It is a complete loss. The two houses next to us and everyone at the top of Giddings Ranch were safe, but our house was gone. So before the National Guard came, we snuck up to the house.
It is 9 o'clock in the morning. It is pitch black. And we are doing the best we can. We're gonna see if we can try to save some things, but it is still like hurricane winds and God have mercy. God have mercy.
And it was disbelief, but I kept saying, there's got to be something. There's got to be something here that we could find. There's nothing. There was, sometimes you find that one thing that survived. But fused to the stove was my Dutch oven pot that was sealed shut. And inside of it was the pasta that I cooked for dinner that night. And that's all that was left.
The fire is just there.
This is a life experience. We tell our kids all the time, life is about experiences. What I told them now is not all experiences are good experiences. But life is about experiences, not things. This is an experience. From the time right now to the point that we get to okay, is going to suck and there's going to be some hard times, but we're going to be fine and we're going to be to rebuild and we're going to rebuild in Altadena. There is no other option. Dena is the community. We lost our buildings. We didn't lose our community. The road to recovery is going to be hard. We know we have a fight to keep big corporations out. We know we have a fight to make sure that the elderly community is not taken advantage of and their homes are not taken. We have a fight to make sure that our schools are rebuilt. There's land chasers. Like, they find out where the elderly couple is or where the, you know, people who don't have the income, because there's a lot of wealth in this neighborhood. There's a lot of wealth in this neighborhood. But then there's people who their home is their wealth. And so, that is what they're passing on to the next generation. Maybe that's all they had and that's what they worked for, but that's what they have to pass their kids. And people search out those people who are in a vulnerable moment and they're poaching their land for selfish use. And we're not having that. We are not having that at all. You know, there's, I'm sure people are talking about coming into here and building things that don't fit this community. It's not going to go down without a fight.
To Altadena with Love was recorded, produced, and edited by me, Mimi Brown. For more content, including behind-the-scenes videos, photos, and exclusive interviews, follow us on social media. You can find me at Mimi Brown TV on all platforms and follow To Altadena with Love for more stories from the people who live them. I'm Mimi Brown. This is To Altadena with Love. See you next time.
The championship is back in the Bay for the first time in 40 years.
On the new limited podcast series, Dub Dynasty, we hear from head coach Steve Kerr on how Steph Curry almost never even joined the Warriors.
In fact, I thought we had a draft day deal to end up getting him to Phoenix.
For the entire behind-the-scenes story of Golden State's incredible 10-year run, listen to Dub Dynasty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Sam Mullins, and I've got a new podcast coming out called Go Boy, the gritty true story of how one man fought his way out of some of the darkest places imaginable.
Roger Caron was 16 when first convicted.
Has spent 24 of those years in jail.
But when Roger Caron picked up a pen and paper, he went from an ex-con to a literary darling. From Campside Media and iHeart Podcasts, listen to Go Boy on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are your ears bored?
Yeah.
Are you looking for a new podcast that will make you laugh, learn, and say, gay?
Yeah.
Then tune in to Locatora Radio Season 10 today.
Okay.
Now that's what I call a podcast. I'm Diosa.
I'm Mala.
The host of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela.
Which is just a very extra way of saying...
A podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio Season 10 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to share my podcast with you, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers in Marketing. This week, I'm talking to the CEO of Moderna, Stéphane Bancel, about how he led his team through unprecedented times to create, test, and distribute a COVID vaccine all in less than a year.
It becomes a human decision to decide to throw by the window your business strategy and to do what you think is the right thing for the world.
Join me as we uncover innovations in data and analytics, the math, and the ever-important creative spark, the magic. Listen to Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.